message I've had on my heart for some time, really. It's been brewing, this message. It's God's plan for your life. And his plan is to grow in the supernatural. We all grow a bit in the natural, don't we? Particularly when we're a bit younger. I think we start to go the other way when we're a bit older. But God wants us to grow in the supernatural. And I want to take this message basically from the book of Philippians. So if you'd like to turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Philippians. Philippians 1:6, the first verse. This verse was given to Anne and I when we first became Christians a long time ago by dear man, Mr. Atkins, who led us to the Lord, and we became Christians. We were born again. And then he gave us this verse, Philippians 1:6. And it says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God has begun a good work in you. He started that good work, I believe, in Anne and I, just before or at the time when we became Christians, when we were born again, when we became spiritually alive, a good work began. But I want to put it to all of you this morning that God has begun a good work in you. It may have been when you became Christians, but it may be before that. God starts to work in our lives. And it's good to see a few young people here, even though there's no Sunday school for them to go to today. But, you know, I want to ask you, you know, why have you come to church today? Why did you come? Don't say it's because your parents brought you. Right? Sometimes that's the reason. But, you know, we come to church because God is real. We come into God's presence in a way when we come to church. You know, and I want to say to all the young people, if I might address the young people now, that God has already begun a good work in you. You may have got to that point already where you've accepted Jesus as Lord and a spiritual life has started within you. But, you know, God is working in your life because he has a plan for your lives. And that includes all of us. However old we are, God has a plan for our lives. And it doesn't matter if you're the youngest or the oldest in our congregation, God still has a plan for the rest of your life. Because God began a good work in us, in every one of us, and he will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, until Jesus comes again and this age as we know it ends. God is at work in you, and he'll carry it on. His work is ongoing. Some people think, wrongly, that when you become a Christian, that's it, I've made it now. I'm going to heaven, which is true, but that's it now. I can just sit back and enjoy being a Christian. But, you know, God hasn't finished with you yet. God has a plan that goes on and continues. Whatever stage you're at in your Christian life, he goes on. And, you know, we can become a bit settled, can't we? Satisfied with where we're at in church or in life. We can be satisfied and just think, oh, well, that's it. But God wants you to go on. He wants you, you know, not to stand still as a Christian, but to go on. He's got a work that he's doing in us that's ongoing. We should never feel satisfied. We should want more of God. Because he wants to change us. We don't like change, do we? We tend to think, oh, I'm just happy the way I am. I don't want any of these challenges to change. But God does want to change us. And how does he want to change us? It's more about our soul, our mind, our emotions, our feeling. That's our soul that he wants to change. Not our bodies. Our bodies change naturally, don't they? They get worse as we get older, don't they? But, you know, our bodies, physical bodies, are one part of our life. Our spirit that's born again and starts when we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. That's there. But it's our soul, it's our mind, our emotions, our feelings, our personality. It's those things that change. But how does God want them to change? He's got a work in us that's ongoing, changing us into his likeness. We become more and more like Jesus as he works, and he's continually working in our lives. And it's our soul that becomes more like him. It's our nature that becomes more like God's. But I want to say to you that this change, this work that God's doing in all of our lives, is supernatural. Have you ever stopped to think about it? It's supernatural. There's supernatural work going on in your life. We might say it's a spiritual work. But spiritual work, when you're born again, a spirit is born within you, it becomes alive and can relate to God. That's spiritual, but it's supernatural, isn't it? It's beyond the natural. We can use our minds in the natural, we can use our physical bodies in the natural, but occasionally our minds and our bodies sometimes are affected by the supernatural. Spiritual things can change our soul, our nature, and our actions, and even our physical bodies. So the work is spiritual, it's supernatural by the Holy Spirit. So, let's look further on in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. And it says here, thinking about, you know, God's work ongoing in our lives, it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we just heard about God's work in us, but here it says, continue to work out. You work out your own salvation. What does that mean? Work out. Does it mean thinking in your mind and trying to understand what salvation is all about? You know, we can try, but I don't think it means that, does it? You know, trying to understand what salvation is about. Yes, we do understand when the Lord gives us insight as to why Jesus went to the cross, why he died, why he made that sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins so that we could have a relationship with God. We can come to an understanding, but it doesn't mean here, when it says work out your salvation, it doesn't mean try and understand it, does it? Work it out in your mind. Does it mean to work very hard to earn your salvation, to work out your salvation? Does it mean to work very hard and try and earn your salvation? No, it doesn't. And I think we ought to just have a quick look at Ephesians chapter 2 just to make sure we do understand that question. Is it by works? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 10 tells us very clearly, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, not from your own work or your own efforts. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. Yeah, it's God's work in us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God has already prepared good works for us to do. He has a plan for our lives. He knows what works we should be doing, and he's prepared them beforehand. And then he says, to do these, you need to be saved. You need to be filled with his spirit. You need to be born again with the Spirit of God. But how do we get that? How do we? We could never earn it, could we? We could never be good enough to earn a relationship with God. So our works are not to earn the salvation. They're to prove it. Because out of the salvation comes a desire to work for God and to find out what his plan and the works that he's prepared for us actually are. So how do we get it? By grace. Well, that's God's goodness, undeserved favour. It just allows us to be saved. But he says, through faith. So what does that mean? Faith, we have to believe. We have to have faith. And that's a free gift of God. So we can ask God for the faith to believe. That's the way it starts. If some of you, particularly young people, have never done that, ask God for the faith to believe that he will forgive you and will come and live within your life. It's a gift. He'll give you the faith to believe that, that it's for you. And then you receive Jesus into your life. It's by faith. But, you know, faith without works is dead, it says in James. In other words, you have to put action. You have to do something to prove your salvation. That's what faith is. It's not just, you know, I'll receive everything, that's it now, good, satisfied. He saves us for a purpose. And that purpose is to grow supernaturally, to be more like Jesus, isn't it? So let's just, having read that in Ephesians, go back to Philippians and just see what the next verse says. Philippians 2 verse 13 now. We just heard from the Lord through his word, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So, work out your own salvation, for it's God who's working in us for us to will and to act. In other words, to want to do something. God puts a desire that we can place our will behind and say, yes, I will do the things that God wants me to do. And to act, to put substance to the faith, to actually do something. To tell others that you've become a Christian is a good start when you first become a Christian. You know, say it's not just faith and belief. I'm going to tell somebody I've become a Christian. So it's putting faith into action, putting your will and your act according to his good purpose. So there we are. It's his plan for our lives. He does have a plan for every single one of us. Not the one that we fulfilled years ago, but a plan for the coming days. So he wants us to do his work, the work he's prepared for us. Well, what work's that? You know, this is the big question, isn't it? What does God want me to do? What's my role in the body? Because we can read passages from the Bible that say that everybody should be part of the body and we should all function. And only when we all function will the body grow. Every part of the body of Christ needs to find a role, something, to put the will and the act into place. Be willing to do it and to do it. Well, there are lots of ministries. It's what the roles are. It's your ministry. There's lots, isn't there? You know, and there's the leadership roles of being an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. You know, there's all these ministries. But there's also a ministry of bringing healing and miracles. But you know, there's very important ministries of being an administrator, looking after the finance, or doing administrative type things. It's a gift. It's a ministry that God wants us to fulfill. And then there's a very special one, biggest one, is being a servant, being a helper, just doing what the Lord puts in front of you to do, to serve the Lord and serve the church, but to serve, to do it. You know, and I think if you may have some of those other ministries and gifts, We all have the ministry of being a servant, just helping. You know, the Bible calls it being a helper. We can all do that, can't we? And if you don't know how you can help, ask the Lord. Because how do we find out what these ministries are for us, what our roles are? We have to remember, this is a supernatural role, supernatural ministry, because God gives us the ability, whether it's one of those leadership type ones, or whether it's, you know, being a servant, it's still supernatural. And even our talents, we might have some talents, I can do such and such a thing. God enhances natural talents by his Spirit to become supernaturally enhanced ministries or service. You know? So whatever it is that you feel you can do and what you're led to, be led by the Spirit. Just pray. And sometimes God tells you. You know, we do sometimes hear God speak to us. You know, we do. But not all of us hear the same way. Some people might have a dream or a vision. Some people might be just prompted by the Spirit. You know, you just get a prompting that somehow is not just from your mind. It's from your soul. It's from your heart. And as you're asking God to lead you, God can lead you by the prompting of his Spirit to know what he wants you to do, how he wants you to serve him. You know, so if we are led by the Spirit, we can use whatever talents we've got or whatever supernatural gifts and abilities we might receive, we can use them to serve. So let's move on. Philippians 4 now, verse 6. You know, this message is really from Philippians this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In everything, by prayer. Everything. In other words, this isn't just when you're starting to feel anxious. This is everything. Everything about your life we should be praying about. Bring it before God. So what's God saying here is that in everything by prayer and supplication, have a relationship with God. Everything about your life, talk to God about it. Have a continuous relationship. And it says with thanksgiving. In other words, apply your faith. Thank God for all the blessings in your life so far and the blessings that are going to come because you're praying. He's going to provide. It's trust in his being in his presence. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18 says a very similar thing, doesn't it? Pray continually. Let's just look at that one quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray continually. Well, that doesn't mean formal prayer, but it does mean be in the Lord's presence, communing with him, talking to him, being aware of his presence with you, whatever you're doing, wherever you are. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. There again, that's the faith. If you give thanks in a circumstance that you're not too happy about, it takes a bit of faith, doesn't it? So give thanks to God in every circumstance. Because, you know, other verses tell us that God can work good through every circumstance of our lives. God works the good. And then it says, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There we are again. Praying continually, being in the Lord's presence, is God's will for you. In other words, God's plan for you. He's created you in Christ Jesus. You're born again. You start a spiritual life to be in his presence, to become more like him day by day. He has a plan for you to be in his presence, for his ongoing work to be achieved. So what does being in his presence produce? Well, the next verse tells us, go back to Philippians 4. Let's read verse 7 now. So we're told to be not anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what happens when we spend time in God's presence, when we pray continually, when we keep praying and asking in an intimate relationship with God? What happens? Well, we don't have any anxieties, do we? We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, what does that mean? It passes all understanding. It's supernatural, this peace, isn't it? Not a natural peace. You know, you can have peace and quiet that's natural. But this is supernatural peace. When all around you seems to be falling apart or whatever, or there's loads of clamour and activity, you can be in peace. The peace of God. And what is the supernatural peace of God? Well, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. By being in God's presence, in His Holy Spirit, the fruit, the nature of God grows in us. It's not just peace, is it? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So the fruit of being in God's presence and praying continually, or just being acknowledging Him as involved in your life and doing a good work in your life, brings the fruit. And what is the fruit? It's the nature of God. So when He's changing us into His likeness, that's what's happening. The nature of God, the fruit of God's Spirit, is growing more and more. But we're growing supernaturally. These aren't just our ordinary abilities to love or to create peace or to have a bit of joy and fun. No, these are supernatural aspects of God's nature growing in us. So let's look at the last verse that I want to turn to us to turn to in Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All your needs. Now, you'll have heard many, many times before, this doesn't say all your wants, all your desires. You know, God will give you the desire of your heart if your heart is close to Him. It's not your wants, it's your needs. You might want all sorts of things, but do you need them? You know, some people really use this verse to talk about financial provision. And it can sometimes be a financial provision from God, if you really need it, for fulfilling the plans that God has prepared for you. Not fulfilling your plans, what I want to do, I need this money because I want to go and do this. No, but God will supply your needs. If you're in this relationship we've talked about, if you're praying continually, if you're being changed and your nature's changing, and you suddenly have a need to fulfill what God has called you to do, what He's planned for you, He will provide that need. You know, I've never had God's supernatural provision of finance. We've been blessed in another way. I've had a good job and we've always had enough finance. So I've never been in that situation where I really needed money for a need that was there, because God had provided through another way. I'd earned it, and now I've got a pension. So, praise the Lord, we've got enough money. But, you know, I've not experienced that, but many people have, if you're in a need like that. But your needs are not always in the natural, are they? You know, we can call that a natural need, can't we? Finance. It can be a provision in the natural, supernaturally provided. But you know, God, I believe here, is talking about His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's how He's going to provide the needs, according to His riches in Christ Jesus. What are God's riches? What does He want to give to us? I'm sure he's not got any money up in heaven. Do you reckon he's got any up there? No, he doesn't have material things there. But so here it's talking about God's riches. What are God's riches? You know, he's got lots of things, good gifts that he wants to give us. You know, he describes his Holy Spirit as a good gift. He sent his Holy Spirit to really help us and guide us and lead us and enable us to do things for him. But you know, there are some supernatural gifts that he wants to give us. You know, there are some that I call inspirational gifts, spiritual gifts, like wisdom or knowledge about a certain situation or discernment about what's going on here. Is it evil or is it good? You know, they're inspirational gifts that God gives when we need them to sort out a situation or to reveal something right from God, gift from God, right? And there are those that are spoken gifts. This prophecy where God will speak forth through individual people as to what God wants. That is a real supernatural gift. And these tongues and this interpretation of tongues, supernatural these are, that help us in our relationship with him, but build up the body of Christ. And there are also the miraculous gifts, and I put faith in that category. Faith to do something really miraculous is given as a gift sometimes. But healings and miracles are supernatural gifts. So there's nine there, just like these nine fruits, and there was nine ministries as well, if you counted them. Well, God, you know, is a God of order. And he, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, body, soul, and mind, you know, body, soul, and spirit, I should say. You know, the three squared, the nine, and, you know, I've spoken about this before, but, you know, God is such an order, in order. Like the universe is in such a balanced order. Everything is done absolutely in balance. So God has prepared a plan for us to do. And God wants us to not only have all these roles, these ministries, he wants us to be changed with all the nine fruits of his spirit, the aspects of his nature growing in us. But he wants us to use the gifts, the supernatural gifts. And just in case you're saying, well, he hasn't given me any, you know, the encouragement in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 is, desire the spiritual or the supernatural gifts. Desire them, especially that you might prophesy. So that's where it starts, in this prayer, continual prayer relationship with God. Desire to go on, to move forward with God and develop whatever roles he wants you to have, but also to use the gifts that he gives you and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to do all things for his glory. Amen.